Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Last night, magic happened. It was Game 7 of the World Series. Two teams battling it out. An epic comeback and an epic game for the ages. And then, this is the call from Joe Buck on Fox last night as we witness history.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series! Bryant makes the play! It's over! And the Cubs have finally won it all! 8-7-10!
Listen to that. Listen to that. I always like to use sports as metaphors. I use everything as metaphors because I like to make things simple and easy. But sports is great because sports is the greatest reality on television. Last night, what you saw was an epic game. A game that had ebbs and flows. A game that had ups and downs. It had smiles and jubilation and celebration. And it had tears. It had drama. Kind of like this election season. Ups and downs. Smiles, tears, drama, jubilation, and everything in between. Last night, if you didn't watch the game, where were you? You missed something. A lot of people who don't follow baseball, a lot of people don't follow sports, were into it last night. Chicago Cubs, lovable losers. 107 years they've been without a World Series. Read a tweet from a guy that was watching the World Series with his 104-year-old aunt who has never missed a Cubs game. In her lifetime, she has never seen them as world champions. This election is similar in a lot of ways. You've had the ebbs and flows on one side, especially. Hillary got out to the quick early lead. It looked like it was over and done with 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we were writing his, you know, his memorial, his political memorial. We were deciding to ourselves, what's his next move? Is he going to start a TV company? Is he going to come to this media conglomerate and put it all together and do this? What is he going to do? Last night, Cubs had a lead. They were on fire. Indians clawed back into the game. Cubs took 6-3 lead. Brought in the hammer. He struggled. Exhausted, like all of us are. Many of the people on the campaign trail. Lo and behold, little Davis hits a 2-run home run to tie the game 6-6. The momentum has swung. Everything was going for Hillary. Everything's going the way it's supposed to. She's got the momentum. She's got all of these things. And then 6 days ago, emails came out and the momentum stopped. Last night, the Indians had the momentum. The Indians were on fire. The Indians were doing everything right. Their pitchers were on point. They were doing what they were supposed to. And then a very un-Cub-like situation took place where normally they're the recipient of bad situations. The skies opened up. And for 17 minutes, the Cubs and the hot Cleveland Indians had to cool down. Overall, it was like 25 minutes before the next pitch was thrown. Cubs went back into their clubhouse. Jason Hayward, who has been a struggling Cub over the last several months, who just signed a monster contract, called a players-only meeting and took them in there, looked into their eyes, because they weren't supposed to be here. Well, they were good, but they weren't supposed to be here. They were young and inexperienced. They weren't supposed to be here. He's not supposed to be here, Trump. He's not supposed to be anywhere around here. He's a reality show host who's a billionaire who took on the best that the GOP had offered up. He wasn't supposed to be here. Cubs were down 2-1 to the Dodgers. Weren't supposed to be here. They were down 3-1 to Cleveland in the World Series. They weren't supposed to be here. Hayward looked at them and said, no crying. No sadness. We've come this far. It's a reset. We're going to go out there and we're going to win this game. Went into extra innings. Cubs put 2 on the board. Cleveland came back, put 1 on the board. And then that little chopper to Bryant. If you see the replay in show motion, it's great because Bryant's grabbing the ball. And as he's doing it, the smile on his face is so big because he knows this is it. 107 years of suffering for a town that loves their Cubs. He's over. And it was. Suffering that people on the right and many people in this country are feeling. Trump got his rain delay last week with the release of all of this crap. He reset, and he's now taking it to extra innings of this seventh game. And the long-suffering people who are frustrated with the way that politics has gone, who feel that they're completely left behind, who feel that politicians are completely out of touch, who feel that politicians don't care anything about them, have the guy that they want. Yes, in a lot of ways, he's the best of the bad options. Is this your best idea? Yes, it's the best bad idea we have. But it's not about Donald Trump. It's literally about the people. He is the wave of discontent and anger that is out there on both sides of the aisle. Some people are so frustrated, they can't even put their finger on why they're frustrated. They just are. He got his rain delay. In this last several days, he has taken that, and he has built up momentum. Now, will it be enough to carry through this weekend? Will it be enough to carry through the next 4-plus days to get him over the hump? I don't know. But much like the way that the game went last night through the ebbs and flows that we have seen, the momentum that she had that was almost certainly a done deal has stopped. And the momentum has now shifted over to him. And I will tell you this. Had these things not been released last week, I do not believe that we would be talking about a Trump victory or even any kind of path to victory. But much like the rain delay last night, I will tell you this. Had the rain delay not happened last night, I don't think Cleveland would have won. I mean, Cleveland would have lost. I think they would have went out and won the game. They were on fire. To cool down like that. It was an epic game. And this has been, in many ways, while long journey, an epic journey, much like baseball, 162 games. Then you've got the playoffs. It's a long slog, a long journey. And this is what this has been. And we have played our seventh game. And we're now into extra innings. And Donald Trump has regained momentum. He is on a path now to make this a Tuesday night that may very well be remembered. As I tweeted out yesterday, you had Brexit, which was supposed to be voted down, but the British surprised everybody. You had the Cubs, who are supposed to be good, but not this good this early. And you've got Donald Trump. They say things like these things come in three. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But I tell you one thing. Don't count him out. Don't count this out. Just like last night, people counted out the Cubs. And if you didn't believe that they counted out the Cubs, if you watched the game last night, people had their hands in their head. They were down. They were sad. You could see that the first thing that happened, oh my God, not again, is what went through their mind. Oh, my God, not again. Oh my, this is how it happens. I can't believe this is going to happen to us again. No, 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 no. The reset came. 2 weeks ago, people were like, Trump's done. It's over. I was one of them. But the rain delay came. Cubs regrouped. His rain delay came last Friday. He's regrouped. He's on point. He's on message. And he knows exactly what he has to do and where he has to do it. Will he win? I don't know. But if you would have told me last year that the Cubs were going to win the World Series this year, I'd have said, no, not this year. And if you would have told me that Donald Trump was going to be the last man standing on the Republican side, I would have said, doubt it. But here he is. And there they went last night. We'll see what happens on Tuesday. Hey, if you're hiring right now, you might be. Holiday season is here, Christmas, Thanksgiving, people shopping, Black Friday. Who knows what you do? You got business coming up, New Year. I mean, it's crazy. You need to find the best candidate, right? Now, where are you going to post your job? See, posting your job in one place, it's tough. It's tough to find the best qualified candidate. So this is what I want you to do. If you want to hire and find the perfect candidate, you need to post your job on all the top sites, and you can do that now with ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to 100-plus sites, including social media sites like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find out any city, right? Any candidate, any industry nationwide. Just post once. Watch these qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls. None of that stuff for you. You're a busy person. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter is being used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, for listeners of the Chad Benson Show, you can post your job for free.
No.
Yes, for free. All you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. That's ZipRecruiter.com/report. Post your job for free today. One more time. ZipRecruiter.com/report. Listeners of the Chad Benson Show get to post their job for free. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
I mean, this guy's a total whack job.
Feel free to text the show, 323-538-2423. We also have a phone line you can call in, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Jed in Indy wants to talk about Trump.
How's it going, Chad? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Great. Well, I'm not a very smart guy. You know, I don't know a whole lot about politics, but I do know this. There's going to be a lot of people coming out of the woodwork. The silent majority is going to be coming out and voting for Trump. And a lot of the people on the left, the Democrats, they're just tired of Hillary, and they're just tired of the lies that they're being fed by the left and the liberal media. And I just think it's a pretty good awakening period for America.
Absolutely. Look, this in and itself, even if Trump doesn't win, this is a wake-up call to a lot of politicians that the same old same isn't going to stand anymore, and we'll continue to do this, and we're going to start doing it at local levels, at statewide levels, and we'll start doing it at national levels. We saw a bit of that with the Tea Party, but that kind of flamed out, and we're seeing some of that with the likes of, you know, Bernie Sanders, even though he's been around a while, and Elizabeth Warren, but their voices have gotten louder, and the attention they have gotten is much larger than what it once was. And Trump has sent a message that hopefully the Republicans and politicians across the board actually get. But there's no guarantee because, as we all know, a lot of times these people, whatever you say to them, it falls on deaf ears.
Exactly. And I believe that, and I'm not one to put them all under a blanket statement, but I believe that a lot of these people who are following the left are young, they're uneducated, and they just go based off of emotion. They will call you a racist if you disagree with them, and then run to their safe space, and then drink their Kool-Aid, and it'll all be good, and they'll go to sleep and then wake up and blame capitalism for all the mistakes. So I just think it's, you know, like I said, it's getting too out of hand, and I believe that the pendulum is swinging. It's at the top point of the left, and it's about to swing really far to the right. I believe we're at a precipice of something completely different and a political revolution, not to quote Bernie Sanders, but I believe there's going to be a political revolution in favor of the right, and I hope and pray that we wake up and make sense of all this nonsense that's going on.
I appreciate your call, man. Thanks so much. And look, I don't know if it's going to be a political revolution that's far to the right or far to the left, but I think there's a political revolution. I think Jed's right about that. That's going to take place, and the way that it's going to take place is so much different than what we have seen in the past. It's a shakeup, and there's nothing wrong with that. Look, I love change. I think change is great, right? Our founding fathers put it in place that the Electoral College so we wouldn't screw up and a lot of these things. But change is inevitable. Change is absolutely inevitable in life. And change can be good a lot of times. And I think people are going to be more embracing of this kind of revolution because I think there's a lot of people out there who are in my kind of bracket as far as feelings go. Socially, they think one way or have no feelings about things. And when it comes to things like everything from where we stand on immigration to business and to military, we have a much different feeling. And I think the revolution's coming. And what I don't think is the left understands it's coming. They think it's coming only towards their side. I think they're going to be surprised to find out they're going to be as shocked by how the revolution is going to affect them, just like the right is. Because there is a large swath of people that now have a independent-like feel. And that's where the revolution's going to be. It's going to be constitutional with some common sense. It's crazy, I know, kids. 323-538-2423. That there is your text line, 323-538-2423. I got a lot of text messages about the thing we talked about last hour. We'll talk about that and some other stuff as well. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
We have texters texting in. Feel free to do that. Love it when you do that. 323-538-2423. Texter writes in, Obama is supposed to be the change. I doubt any of the two parties will really change. And I said, well, Trump's not a party. And he's not. And they said, well, they're going to rein him in. Too much power. It's not about that. You know, let me tell you something. You know what the biggest fear is for all of these guys? Trump gets in there. He spends 2 years in there trying to do stuff. Nothing gets done. And along the way, he exposes them, each and every one of them, for what a corrupt SOB who cares only about themselves. That's what it is. You know why there's no reality shows in Washington? Because they don't want to see. They don't want you to see how bad they are. A lot of people texting in about what you're talking about last hour about the taking young boys and emasculating them. Some of the stuff is hilarious. One texter says the last segment needs to be in the best of and repeated often. FYI, go straight white men. Yes, damn you. We talked about the fact that Lena Dunham and her father did this thing about how the real cause of a lot of problems is straight white men. And the quicker they move to the back and let other people have a chance, the better it's going to be for society because she wants to build a better man. And I said, look, it starts everywhere. It starts with my son at his age and how they're trying to essentially emasculate them along the way. And they do it in such small doses you don't know. But by the time you look up, you're like, oh, my God. Another texter says, you're right, Chad. I have a 15-year-old boy. It's very tough to grow up now being a boy. Growing into a man. I don't know if people are just too tired to deal with the boyness or what. I think it's a big part of it. You know what? Teachers don't want that. That energy, man. Let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of the energy. What can we do to get rid of energy? Another texter says, hey, Chad, Desiree here. I have a 7-year-old son. He got in trouble at school for playing tag once, for making spit wads in the bathroom. And yes, he plays with Nerf guns and is a ball of energy. That Lena Dunham can suck it. What does she know about raising a son? Very true. It's just about the fact that no longer wants to raise a son. They want to eliminate men in the form that they are now. They want to create them into a better man. It just can't happen. Let me tell you what a better man is. A man is a man when he does the things in life he's supposed to be and do. I.e., if you're a father, you be a father. You've got an opportunity in life to be a man, and you go out and you bust your ass and you work just like to being a mother, to be a great woman. If you're a mom and you have a child, you be the leader for that young child. And the father is the leader as well. This is what it is about being an adult, being a man. But each one of them are going to give that child, especially a little boy, a certain set of things. There's nothing wrong with being a man, despite what the likes of Lena Dunham has said. There's nothing wrong with being straight, by the way, or gay. And there's nothing wrong with being white or black or purple or green or orange, whatever the hell you identify with. There's nothing wrong with it. The insanity of it all, though, and this is what's out there. This is how people feel. There is a large group of people in places on the East Coast, places on the left coast, who feel this way. And there's a group of people that are growing up now who are being taught in our educational bastions that were supposed to be once of free thought but are no longer that, i.e. colleges, who are being told that having any kind of masculinity is no more than anything other than patriarchy, machismo, a language of dominance. What is this crap? You know, today, here's a perfect example of the insanity of it all. And just the thin-skinnedness that people have. Old Anthony here, my man, my pal, my bro. He goes and every day he goes over and he gets himself a little Starbucks. Nothing wrong with that, right? Good times. So producer Anthony goes over and gets some Starbucks. He comes back and he goes, I don't see what's wrong with this cup. And I'm like, oh, it's the Unity cup. People were bitching and moaning about it. People are upset about it. People took to Twitter and social media about it to talk about the fears they have, to talk about the what is wrong with people? If a cup drives you to do that, if somebody saying Merry Christmas drives you to lose your mind, as I said to Anthony, the best thing that you can do, the only advice I have for you, is to go into a corner and wait to die. How people wake up in the morning and look for what is going to essentially hurt their feelings, I don't know. I don't know how anybody does it. I get called all kinds of things every day. I get called some heinous stuff. It makes me laugh. You just grin and you bear it and you move on with life. We have become so weak, so sensitive. There is nothing wrong with having feelings. Feelings are a good thing. But they should never, ever hold more sway than facts. But we've allowed that to happen in this country on so many occasions. We've allowed feelings to override facts because facts may point out some stuff that makes us uncomfortable. You know why we have hit the wall that we've hit in the social world that we live in? It's pretty simple. For a long time, we could be open and honest and discuss things. And while it may get heated, and while it may get ugly, and while it may make people uncomfortable, every time we did that, we did move the ball a little further. every time we made some people uncomfortable, we talked about some facts, we pointed some things out, we listened to each other, we actually heard each other, it moved the ball forward. Doesn't happen anymore. Because the minute you start to talk about something that somebody else doesn't want to talk about, whether it's the Unity Cup, whether it's the masculinity of young men, doesn't matter what it is. Somebody screams, somebody gets upset, somebody gets hurt, somebody freaks out, somebody cries, somebody runs away, and then everybody talks about how bad their feelings are hurt. It's embarrassing. It is. We've come a long way because you take things head on. And when you take things head on, you're able to defeat them. You can't go over a wall by never getting to the wall. Right? But that's what we want to do now. And the funny thing is, many times in life, we're not actually hurting somebody's feelings if you laid it out there. We're hurting somebody's perception of how feelings should be. I don't care if it's straight white men. I don't care if it's a super Unity Cup. I don't care what it is. It's just, it's ridiculous. You know, Trump, and the reason his popularity exploded in a lot of ways is because he was boisterous. He was loud. He said things that many of us thought, but because political correctness is out there, nobody said. He was loud. He was boisterous. He said some stuff. And yes, at times he crossed the line that we were uncomfortable with, and things. And he said things that were stupid. They were absolutely stupid. But since when does caring about your nation and immigration and America first make you a racist when somebody on the left deems it so? Oh. Well, he says he didn't say all Mexicans. He didn't say all of them are killers and rapists. But are there killers and rapists here from different countries? Absolutely. How do you know? Because our killers and rapists, when they try to escape, they go to Mexico. So my assumption is theirs come here. Does he say things that are uncouth? Yeah, absolutely. But he says some stuff, too, that's true. And a lot of that truth freaks people out and makes them uncomfortable. The fact that somebody would get up there, and I've seen it over and over in college campuses. I've seen it when I've gone out and give speeches. I've seen where these people who are essentially guilty for being whatever they are. I will never tell my son to apologize for being a cute little boy, and as he gets older, for being a good-looking white kid. I will never tell him to apologize for that because he has no need to apologize for that. Just like I don't think Starbucks should even take up some sort of, oh, well, hold on, this isn't our holiday cup, and don't worry, we're going to have a holiday cup. Why? Why would you even engage in any of that crap? It's okay to listen to your customers if your product sucks. But if somebody doesn't like the packaging is in because it makes them uncomfortable or they're angry over something, stop it. You know, being in this business that I'm in, know this, every day we do stuff that at some point in time is going to offend somebody. Doesn't matter what it is, right? I've offended everybody. Black, white, straight, gay, Jewish, Hindu, Muslims, Christians, atheists, agnostics. What am I leaving out here? Krishnas, the gays, lesbians.
See, and the people
LGBT.
You leave out now are going to be offended.
I know. Who haven't? You feel it on the head. The people I didn't offend are pissed that I didn't offend them. I don't know. But I don't know how people do it. Nuns. Have I offended some nuns? I probably offended a nun or two. But I don't know how people do it. I don't know how people in this great day and age, in this world that we live in, in this country that has given us so much, has given us this amazing Constitution, this amazing Bill of Rights, has given us opportunity after opportunity, has given us all of these freedoms, can so always want to shut somebody up and to change who they are. I'm always amazed at that. This business I'm in, you're going to offend people. And in fact, I'll say this right now. If I don't offend some people all the time, I'm probably not doing my job. My whole goal is to not so much offend you, but to open your mind and have you think about stuff. And to put your feelings aside and maybe just think there's some facts involved in this and we can look at this along the way. Honesty is a bitch. That's the truth. It really is. I wonder who said that. Was that Winston Churchill? Probably not. It was me. But still, that sounds like something he would have said. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Wrap it up next.
I'll take it. Wrap it up.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Texter writes in and says, Chad, you used the B word. I have to find a safe space. I think that's tongue-in-cheek, kids. Let's kick back, watch a little TV. You know what? Almost half Americans say they can't find something good on TV to watch. I think that's baloney, and I'll tell you why. First of all, let's be real. From 2010 to 2016, mobile viewing's up 85%. People are dumping traditional TVs. They're going with these a la carte kind of situations. Consumers in the U.S. spend about $20 a month on video on demand, up 60% since 2012. That's they spend $71 a month on regular TV, up about up from about $54 a few years ago. So why can't we find good stuff? I'll tell you why. First and foremost, know this. There's so much incredible things to watch out there. There is. Even on network TV, there's some good shows. But because we have choice, sometimes we don't know what to choose. On average, get ready for this. This is what's insane. On average, we spend about 23 minutes a day trying to find something. Over a lifetime, you will use your channel changer to check the guide. 1.3 years is how long you'll be doing that on average. So think about that. You change the channel, you surf the guide, and in doing so, if you add it up over a lifetime, it's 1.3 years wasted doing that. And now with Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, it's crazy. But it's not because we don't have good things to watch. That's where I looked at this and I said, no, that's not true. We have so many good things to watch, and that's part of the problem. We have so many incredible choices to watch. We have so many things that are great. You can go to Netflix, and you can watch so many amazing shows. Lots of movies. Same thing with Amazon. Same thing with Hulu. Same thing with ABC, NBC, CBS, CW, all the WB, all those. There's a lot of good stuff. And when we're spoiled for choice, sometimes we just don't take it. I got a bunch of texts. We've touched on this before, and Phil and I have talked about this on numerous occasions where you have so many things to watch, you don't know what to watch. So you're watching Netflix, and you're like, I got 500 things I want to watch. It's all in my queue. And then you're looking and putting new things in your queue, and then you notice something that you wanted to watch that has been in your queue forever is no longer there because you refused to watch it. You hoarded it. As if winter was coming and you weren't going to be able to have enough to eat. So you hoarded it like food. Thinking, oh, there may never be anything this good again. This is when I'm sick. This is when I'm home during the day because I'm taking a mental health day. This is a show for Saturday night. There's always going to be something else. There's plenty of stuff that's great. The problem is, there's plenty of stuff that's great. We throw 10 balls in the air. Each one of them is a great choice. But because of that, we spend so much time trying to figure out what we want, which one would be the perfect choice, we let all 10 of them hit the ground. I do it all the time, three nights a week. I think I'm going to watch something on Netflix. I think I'm going to watch something on Amazon. I think I'm going to watch something on Hulu. And then I think to myself, well, maybe it's a little late. I don't want to watch this. Or I don't know if I want to get too deep right now. Maybe I want to watch a comedy. And then I end up watching something I've already seen before, because if I fall asleep, it's no big deal. We're spoiled for choice. It's not that there's nothing to watch, kids. It's because there's so much choice. We don't know what to choose. That's a good thing to have, because a lot of places around the world, they got no choice. I'll take choice every day. Solid fun day today. Scott Cardio will join us, talk about movies. Big one opening up, Doctor Strange. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Check out ChadBensonShow.com, if you would please. Text the show 24/7, 365, 323, 538, 2423. For my man, Anthony, for my man, the Czar, for my man, Phil, who'll be gone tomorrow. Have a safe trip, brother. I say it all to you. Night-night. Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.